Thanks for checking out our weekly podcast. Our mission at Grace is to help people worship God, connect to others, and serve both. We hope that you'll be blessed and encouraged by this week's message. For more information about Grace, you can follow us on Facebook or check out our website at experiencegrace.church.
Let's take the Bible and let's open this morning to the book of John. We're going to be in John chapter number 15 this morning. John chapter number 15. Like I said, last week we started a series of messages that we're calling Bear. But if you missed last week, then you know, or you don't know, that we geeked out for a little while. We found out who the English nerds were, because we all know that people that liked English and hated math were nerds, right? And all the people that loved math and hated English, they were cool, right? Help me out here, right? And so we geeked out a little bit, and we talked about the English language, and I won't bore you again with all the details of that, but I'll summarize it by saying that what we saw and the way we started this series is by understanding this premise, is that there are certain nouns that remind us of certain verbs, all right? Certain nouns remind us of certain verbs. Or another way of saying that is there are certain things that can remind us of things we need to do. Because remember, a noun is a, how do you define a noun? It is a person, place, thing, or idea. And then a verb, we got a lot of math people in here apparently, a verb would be something that has an action, all right? It requires doing something. And what we started doing last week is we started looking at these nouns that are up here. We've got the teddy bear, we've got the Chicago Bears, and then we have a caged bear. And we saw that these things can remind us of something that we need to do. I've been thinking about this all week, and I've wanted to try it just to see what would happen. Hey, Siri. Nothing happened. I thought maybe something would happen. How many of you guys have iPhones? Everybody have an iPhone? Take your iPhone out and just hold up. I want to see how many iPhones I can get to come on at one time. All right, ready? Let's try it again. It was in your pockets, right? One, two, three. Hey, Siri. Oh, it didn't even work on my phone. But we live in a day and age where you've got Siri, you've got Alexa. What does Google call theirs? If you want to talk to your phone, what do you have to call it? What is it? Hey, oh, Google. That's really clever. Whatever it is. But what we do nowadays is we say to our phones, hey, Siri, will you remind me to get up at 6 a.m.? Or will you remind me to get my wife flowers? Or you remind me to brush my teeth? Or whatever it may be. Before we had these things, how many of you guys ever tied a string to your finger to remind you to do something? That's an old-fashioned way of reminding yourself to do something. But what we see in the scriptures is that when you begin to look at this word that we're looking at over the next 3 weeks, or these 3 weeks, is this word bear is a noun that can remind us of something that we need to do, or remind us of a verb. God in his infinite wisdom allowed something really neat for those of us that speak the English language. He allowed the word we're looking at in this series to be used as both a noun and a verb. So when we see the things on this table, they should remind us of something that we need to do. In other words, when we see these bears, it should remind us to bear something. And so we started last week by looking at baby bear. Bear is over 15 years old. It belongs to our oldest daughter, Emma, and I told you some of the stories behind it. But what we realized is that when you look at a teddy bear, it should remind you to do something in the scriptures. Anybody remember what it's supposed to remind you to bear? Burdens, right? And we looked at that passage of scripture that talks about bearing one another's burdens, and the passage that talks about how we're supposed to bear our own burdens. And we tied it in by saying that a teddy bear is an awesome thing for a child to have, because a teddy bear brings what? Comfort, right? But a teddy bear doesn't bring comfort if it's sitting over in the corner by itself. When your child starts crying, when they're scared, you grab that bear, you give it to them, and they pick it up and they carry it with them, and that brings them comfort. And that's what we looked at last week. So whenever we look at a teddy bear, it should remind us that our burdens are not to be ignored. They're not to be pushed off to the side. Our burdens are not to be, you know, to act like they're not even there, or to try to get rid of them. But rather, God tells us in his word to pick up our burdens, to bear them, to carry them with us. That's what we realize, that when we look at a teddy bear, it should remind us of the verb to bear burdens. Last week, many of you were reminded of something near and dear to you. You were thinking of your... How many guys will admit that you got home and you found your baby bear and you gave it a good old-fashioned hug just for memory's sake, right? Anybody do that last week? No. Okay, there's a couple that would admit it publicly, yeah? Well, this week, it's not necessarily going to remind as many people of something that's near and dear to them, but to some of you, it will. The thing we looked at last week, the thing we are to bear, is different than this week. Last week, it was a burden. This week, the way in which we bear it is also going to be different. It is not like a teddy bear, but like a Chicago bear. Nothing. All right, that's how intense the bear. I'm telling you right now, if somebody would have said the Tennessee Volunteers, I would have went nuts right there, all right? So let's try that again, Bears fans. I know you had a tough overtime loss to the Dolphins last week. Did anybody watch that one? I mean, I cried for you guys on that one. But we're not talking this week about a teddy bear. We're going to talk about the Chicago Bears. All right. Thank you very much. I certainly appreciate that. At least there's one Bears fan among us here. It's a difficult time to be a Bears fan. I actually tried to convince John and the worship team to do a version of the Super Bowl Shuffle, but they said most people wouldn't remember it since it's from 1985, all right? And so, but how many of you still remember the Super Bowl Shuffle from 85, the Chicago Bears? Sure, yeah. Just out of curiosity, how many of you are Bears fans? I mean, down deep, and you can tell who the real Bears fans are, just... boom, like no bend in the elbow. I mean, just straight up. And then the Bears fans that watched the Dolphins game last week are like this. The Bears fans that know they're playing the Patriots today, like this, you know, like kind of a Bears fan. You can tell who the real fans are. The real fans watch the games. The real fans try to get to the games. The real fans fly the flags. They have the bumper stickers. They talk about them. Their general happiness is determined by whether the team wins or loses. Anybody, you know, a real fan, if they are depressed for a week when their team loses, right? Us Tennessee fans know how that feels. But Bears fans will do just about anything to let people know how much they love their team. As a matter of fact, I've got some pictures of some Bears fans up here. There's one. Apparently, he's a recovering Packers fan from his hat that you see there. Oh, we got another one here. That's more realistic, right? That's more of a realistic Bears fan. Let's go to the next one here. They're fans, but they're a little depressed. That may have been taken last week. And then my favorite one, I like that one right there. That guy... he's intense. He looks like he's a professional wrestler, doesn't he? Like he's about to jump off the top rope with that sweet mask that he has on there. Listen, last week when we looked at a teddy bear, it reminded us that we need to bear something. We need to bear burdens. What I want to tell you this week is that when we see a Chicago Bear, or more specifically a Bears fan, I think God wants us to act like these guys. Some of you are like, no, I ain't coming to church with cheesehead on me, you know, painted blue. I'm not going to put on orange and blue, and I'm not going to do that. But I would contend with you that when we look at our passage of Scripture in John 15, God is calling us to do what these guys on the screen are doing. I want you to see it for yourself in John 15 and verse 26. Verse number 26 says, "But when the Comforter is come." Notice the word comforter there is capitalized. Anybody know who the comforter is referring to here? Referring to the Holy Spirit. Now, this is Jesus. He's in his last days. He's going to be crucified soon. He's gathered all of his apostles. The 12 apostles are there. And he's drawing them in, and he's letting them know about something that's going to happen. Now, we know the end of the story. Like, we know that the Holy Spirit is going to come on the day of Pentecost, and Peter's going to preach an amazing message. It's going to be awesome. But the Holy Spirit isn't there yet. And the Lord Jesus Christ says to the apostles that when the Comforter is come, when the Holy Spirit gets there, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. He says when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit is going to do something. What is the Holy Spirit going to do according to that verse? Going to testify of Jesus. Now look at the next verse. He says, and ye, what's that next word? Also. And ye also, just like the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus, he says, ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. What we see in this passage is another use of the word bear, like we saw last week. This word bear is a little bit different than what we saw last week. It's not to be done like we do with a teddy bear, where we pick it up and carry it, but more along the lines of like a Bears fan. Last week, Let's look at this next slide here. Last week, the word bear means to pick up and carry. This week, the word bear means to be a witness or to testify. In my Bible, I have the word testify circled in verse 26 and bear witness circled in verse 27 because in the original language, guess what? It's the same word. In our English language, it's a little bit different, has a little bit of a nuance to it, but for some reason, God chose to have Jesus Christ use these words here, the same word for bear. And so in other words, we should be like those Bears fans, not to bear witness for their team necessarily, not for us to testify about the Chicago Bears, but to testify of our Savior. Do you see the difference? Do you see the correlation here? Just as the Holy Spirit was going to come on the scene, the Holy Spirit was going to talk about Jesus. He was going to testify about what Jesus had done and what Jesus was going to do. He says that's what the apostles were to do when they went out into the world as well. This is what the Bible says the Comforter does. Go back to verse number 26 again and see it for yourself. It says, but when the Comforter has come, the end of that verse says, he shall testify of me. Jesus here is talking to the apostles and he tells them that they are to do the same thing that the Holy Spirit does. That's why he chose to use that word also. Now, as I said earlier, at this point, is the Holy Spirit present with the apostles, indwelling all of them at that moment when Jesus said this statement? Was the Holy Spirit indwelling them? It's kind of a trick question. You're not sure if you should answer it or not, but I'll just answer it for you. No. Now, someone that maybe doesn't understand the proper doctrine of the Holy Spirit may say, well, wait a second, hasn't the Holy Spirit always been around? Absolutely. The Bible talks about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, and how they are all co-equal, and they've always existed together. But what we recognize is that the Holy Spirit of God has not always indwelled indwelled God's children. As a matter of fact, when you come to this passage, when Jesus is talking to the apostles, the Holy Spirit is not dwelling inside of them at that point. That's why Jesus said that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. When was it that the Holy Spirit came? Anybody know what chapter or what book, let's say what book of the Bible the Holy Spirit comes in? The book of Acts. Bonus points if you know what chapter. 2, good job, all right? So the Holy Spirit doesn't come until Acts chapter number 2. But when the Holy Spirit did come, what did the Holy Spirit do? Now this is important that we catch this. When the Holy Spirit does show up, he is always testifying of Jesus. That's what he said. He shall testify of me. When the Holy Spirit showed up in Acts chapter 2 and started indwelling believers, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit was doing then what he continues to do now. He always bears witness of Jesus. Like a Bears fan says, look at my team, look at my team. Did you notice my shirt? The Bears are awesome, you know, and that kind of thing. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's always shifting glory to Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Jesus clarifies this in the next chapter. Look at chapter 16 and verse 13. It says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, so we're talking about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The next verse, verse 14, says, he shall glorify me. Who is speaking here? If you have a red letter Bible, what color are your words there? They're red, right? You know why? Because it's Jesus talking. He says, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit will glorify me, or glorify Jesus, for he, the Holy Spirit, shall receive of mine, Jesus Christ, and he shall show it unto you. Now, this is incredibly important that we grasp what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit always brings glory and shifts the attention to Jesus and not upon himself. Now, I understand that we've got a lot of different church backgrounds here, and I will tread lightly, but I will not steer clear from what the Word of God teaches. And I want to say this as clearly as I possibly can based upon my understanding of the Word of God. And if you disagree with this, then I would be more than happy to discuss it civilly with you afterwards. But because of what we see in John 16 about how the Holy Spirit of God always bears witness of Jesus and not of himself, that is why I believe that much, if not all, of everything that happens in the modern day tongues movement is not of God. I wanted to say that as plainly and as clearly. I don't believe, based upon my understanding of the Word of God, that what you see happen when people start speaking in tongues. How many of you guys have ever witnessed someone on TV or in person speaking in tongues before? Have you ever seen that happen? Now, it's wild, okay? I've never spoken in tongues, and if you have, that's between you and God, and I'm not trying to tell you, you know, that I'm better than you or anything like that. I just need to tell you what the Word of God says. And this is what the Word of God says. It says, when the Holy Spirit shows up, what's he always going to do? Every time, according to John 15 and John 16. He's going to do what a Bears fan does. He's going to go, look at him, look at him, look at him. But what happens in the modern day tongues movement, it's not much talk about Jesus. It's a lot of talk about who? The Holy Spirit. It's about being filled with the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. Now, do we need to be filled with the Spirit? Absolutely. But the focus of being filled with the Spirit is to get us looking at where the Holy Spirit wants us to look, and that's looking towards the Son of God or looking at Jesus. The reason I don't believe the modern day movement that we know as tongues is of God is because, number one, their emphasis is not on Jesus. But number two, if you want to study this for yourself, we don't have time to look at all of it, but study 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Because in 1 Corinthians 14, the Holy Spirit was still filling people to speak in tongues because they did not have the entire Word of God like we have today. And in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is telling the church, if you're going to speak in tongues, this is how you do it. And one of the first things that he says is that if you're going to speak in tongues, there can only be two people or three at the very most speaking at one time. Now, if you've been around a church that speaks in tongues, very few of them follow that. It's usually one breaks out, then another one breaks out, and another one breaks out, and all of a sudden all the Baptists in the room are going, what in the world's going on, you know? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, now I didn't write this. Like, I don't make the rules, I just report them, okay? And God said only two or three can do it at a time. The second thing is the Bible says there will always be an interpreter. But most of the time in the modern day church movement, when someone stands up and speaks in tongues, there are very few times that you'll see someone stand up and interpret what they just said. But that's what you see in 1 Corinthians 14. For the church, at that point, if they were going to speak in tongues, there had to be an interpreter. And by the way, the third thing is the interpretation had to be done by someone else. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, and it'll tell you that when the person interprets, they can't stand up and say, blah, 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 what God just told me is, and then explain it to everyone. That's what you see in the modern day movement. You see them speaking in tongues, and then they interpret for you what God told them. That's not the pattern that God set forth in 1 Corinthians 14. There was always supposed to be another person interpreting. And here's where it gets really politically incorrect. In 1 Corinthians 14, in talking about the context of speaking in tongues, it actually says this phrase, let the women learn in silence. I know that's not politically correct. Don't shoot the messenger, all right? I'm just telling you what it says. But listen, what percentage of the modern day church that speaks in tongues is done by women? The overwhelming majority of it. And in the context of 1 Corinthians 14, it says women aren't supposed to be speaking in tongues. And the last verse in 1 Corinthians 14 actually says, let all things be done decently and in order. But in the modern day church movement that believes in speaking in tongues, it's far from in order. It's out of control. You got people over here doing one thing. They've actually had barking revivals where people got down on the ground and started barking because they were filled with the Spirit. Show me that in the New Testament, right? You've had laughing revivals where people break out laughing. Of course, you've all seen Benny Hinn, you know, healing people and, you know, that kind of crazy stuff. Listen, none of that is in line with the biblical principles. So that is why I believe that the modern day tongues movement is not of God. In the New Testament, when the Holy Spirit moved someone to speak in tongues, something always happened. People came to Jesus Christ. It was usually Jews. They came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior because what does the Holy Spirit do? Jesus told them what the Holy Spirit was going to do. The Holy Spirit always bears witness or testifies of Jesus. Isn't this what a Bears fan does? Like today, I believe the Zerings are actually going to the football game today. Is that right? They're actually going to Soldier Field, and they're going to be cheering on. I think part of them are going to cheer on the Bears, and then Jen is a Patriots fan, I think, so she'll be cheering on the Patriots. I'm not sure if those people go to heaven or not. But they're actually going to be at the game. And listen, here's what will happen, all you Bears fans out there. Angie Campbell, she'll be right there with them. Angie, if the Bears beat the Patriots today, I can guarantee what Angie's going to be saying tomorrow. She's going to be saying, did you see what we did to those Patriots yesterday? But do you see us nail Tom Brady, put him out of the game, and put old Bill Belichick in his place? You see what we did? How many of you guys have heard these sports fans talk? We. Like you were on the field coaching them, Angie. You know? Like she was calling in plays to the coach, like tell him to run a 34 option on three. You know, whatever. You know, when we talk about our team, it's always, do you see what we did? We beat the Patriots, or we did a good job that day. The truth is that whether fans are rejoicing or mourning, they are bearing witness of their team and not of themselves. You see it? If someone were to come in decked out with this Bears gear and they were talking about the Bears, they're loud and they're letting everybody know where they stand, but they're not bragging on themselves, they're bragging on their team. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does, and that's exactly what God has called us to do as his children, is that whenever people look at us and they say anything good about us, we deflect the attention to Jesus Christ and we point them to him just as the Holy Spirit does. Now remember, in our passage, who was Jesus speaking to in John 15? The apostles, the disciples, right? He has them there and he's gathered them together. Were the apostles going to have anything happen in their lives that might draw the attention of people around them? Yes, okay. Pentecost, if you haven't read Acts chapter number 2, read it when you get home. And I'll tell you what, if you've never read it before, it'll blow your mind. Because here they are, all these Jewish people from all around the world had come together for this big feast. And they all spoke different languages and stuff. And Peter gets up to preach. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes down. And the Bible says that there's cloven tongues like fire. And people are like, what's going on? And then all these people just started speaking in an unknown language. But other people were understanding. And the Bible says that when that happened, 3,000 people got saved. Do you think that might have drawn some attention? You know, I think Fox News would have picked that up, you know, and they would have had a reporter on the scene there in Jerusalem. If that didn't get their attention, later on, all these Jesus followers are beginning to cause a stir in that region of the world, and there was a couple named Ananias and Sapphira. Anybody remember what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? They sold their property. And they went to Peter and they said, we bring in all the profit. We want to give it all to God. But what had happened? They held some of it back. So they lied. And Peter said, you have lied to the Holy Spirit. And anybody remember what happened to Ananias and Sapphira right there on the spot? That would cut out lying, wouldn't it? If every time you lied, you fell over dead. You know what I mean? But do you think that would have gotten people's attention? Did you hear what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? They lied to Peter. They were gone. I'd stay away from that Peter guy, you know. Listen, when you go to Acts chapter number 4, God has given these apostles unique power. We talked about it a few weeks ago. Powers that we, as the modern church, do not have, but they had them as the apostles because the Jews required a sign. And Peter and the apostles had the ability to heal people. And in Acts chapter 4, the Bible says there was a lame man who hadn't been able to walk for years. Everybody knew who he was. He was a beggar that was always there. And Peter walks by him, and the guy gets healed. And all the people, all the Jewish leaders, they were like, well, we need to bring this guy in. And man, we need to get rid of this Jesus movement, get rid of these apostles, and let's figure out what's going on. So they bring this lame man in who walked himself into the room because Peter healed him. And they're questioning him. And they're like, how in the world are you able to walk? Like, who are you giving the glory to? Who are you giving the credit to? And I love the way that Peter answers these people. Because they brought Peter in and they thought they were going to pigeonhole him and they were going to throw him in jail and catch him in something. But I love what Peter says to him in Acts chapter 4 and verses 8 through 10. It says, then Peter, filled with what? Holy Ghost, all right? So since he's filled with the Holy Ghost, what does the Holy Ghost always do? Points to Jesus, right? Just like a good flag man on the road pointing you in the right direction to go. That's what the Holy Spirit does, always points to Jesus. So Peter is filled with the Holy Ghost. Anybody want to guess what Peter's about to do? Point him to Jesus. He says unto them, ye rulers and the people, or rulers of the people and the elders of Israel. Verse 9 says, if this day we be examined of the good deed that is done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Like, if you're wanting to know how this guy got healed, verse number 10, he says, be it known unto you all. I'm about to tell you. He says, be it known unto you all, and this is my favorite verse in all the Bible. He says, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. He says, look, if you want to look at this guy's life and you want to say, what's different about him? Peter says, it's not the way I preached. Peter said, if you want to know what's different about him, don't look at me, look at him. Look at Jesus. He's constantly deflecting the glory. Peter very easily could have said, well, I walked by the guy and, you know, my shadow touched him and boom, he was healed. But that's not what Peter said. Peter said, Jesus of Nazareth did this. Let me just ask you, are there things about you that draw the attention of others? Now, I'm not talking about bad breath or body odor or something like that, all right? I'm talking about positive attention. Like, is there anything about you, like your performance at work? Have you ever had people that are like, you're getting it done, man? What about like nice possessions? Maybe you live in a nice home, or maybe you have a nice car, or maybe you wear really nice clothes. My wife made me change like 4 times this morning. I hope that I don't look too ridiculous wearing a suit coat and a t-shirt. But some of you have nice possessions, and that may draw the attention of others. Maybe you have special talents or abilities that draws the attention of others. Maybe you're going through a storm or a trial, and it draws the attention of others. Can I tell you that every one of these are opportunities for us to bear witness of Jesus Christ? Just like Peter, when Peter was full of the Holy Ghost and Peter said, people came to him and said, what in the world are you doing? He says, I'm not doing it, Jesus is. And so when people come to you and say, man, you're killing it at work, man, you're bringing in a huge profit, man, you're bringing in more customers, you're doing that, say, it's not me, it's about Jesus. When people say, man, you're talented, man, I can't believe the skill that you have in this area of your life, or man, you're an awesome parent, or you're a great spouse, or whatever, it's not me, it's him. Man, that's a sweet ride that you're driving, or man, I love your new threads, or whatever. Do people still use that word, threads? No? Just roll with it. When people say those kinds of things, you don't say, yeah, I picked it out myself, you know, or I saved up for years to be able to get this. You say, man, God has been good to me because Jesus loves me in spite of me. Do you see what the difference is? So often it's easy to accept that attention for ourselves, but we are to be like Bears fans and deflect the attention to the team. Look what we did. It's what he did. The root word of this word bear, when in John 15, where it says bear witness. The root word of that word testify, when it says that the Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus, is the word martyro, which is the word from which we get the word martyr. What does a martyr do? Gives his life, gives her life for what they believe in. Our text was written specifically to the apostles, right? And every one of the apostles, except for the apostle John, according to ancient history, every one of them died as martyrs, except for John. As a matter of fact, when they crucified Peter, they told him they were going to crucify him. And Peter said, I'm not worthy to die in the same way that my Savior died. And they actually crucified Peter, according to tradition. They crucified Peter on an upside-down cross. This passage was written to apostles who truly would bear witness or become martyrs for what they believed. They would die trying to bear witness or tell other people about Jesus. Aren't you glad that we're not in that position here in the United States of America? Like, if you're going to tell somebody about Jesus, they're not going to cut your head off like they would back in those days, or like they would in Iraq or Afghanistan or Iran or something along those lines. Peter actually said when Jesus told him that he was going to that Peter was going to deny Jesus, this is what Peter said in Matthew 26. He said, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. He ended up denying him, and Peter died as a martyr. But I want you to listen to me clearly. We do not need to be willing to die for Jesus. We need to be willing to live for him. God's not looking around like, you going to be willing to die for me this week? You know, you're going to be willing to testify and die for me this week? Would you die? Listen, Jesus isn't looking for people that will die for him. He's just looking for people that will wear his jersey. You know what I'm saying? I actually saw a guy in Starbucks the other day that had a shirt on. It said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He kind of took bear witness to the utmost, right? And everywhere he went. And listen, I'm not saying that Jesus wants you to wear a Jesus, Jesus, Jesus shirt or put a Jesus bumper sticker on, but I will tell you what he does want you to do. He wants you to be like a Bears fan and at least talk about him. tell other people about him, and point people to Jesus so that when you get attention, you're constantly deflecting the glory to him. We need to simply bear witness of Jesus. And so I'm going to give you three simple things today that will help us to bear witness to Jesus. The first thing, first way that we bear witness to him is, number one, we need to guide others to truth. You say, well, how can I bear witness, or how can I be like a Bears fan? How can I be like the Holy Spirit here? Well, John 15 tells us that when the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Spirit would move in their lives. We read that at the end of chapter 15. In chapter 16, he told them, this is what the Holy Spirit's going to do. And so if he told them, do what the Holy Spirit does in chapter 15, and then he tells them what the Holy Spirit does in chapter 16, then guess what? He gives us an explanation on how to bear witness. And it's found back in our verses that we read earlier. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit guides us to the right direction. The Holy Spirit guides us to Jesus. You know, we live in a society that does not believe in absolute truth. Maybe you have a family member or a coworker that they're really hypocritical. Like, you ever been around these people that they'll judge somebody for doing something that they themselves are doing? You ever been around someone that does that? And you look at that and go, what? How are you going to look? And the phrase that we use is, look at the pot calling the kettle black. How are you going to run them down the road for being mean when you're doing the same thing? And then what happens is when they're confronted with it, what they say is, well, let me explain to you my situation. Because in our society, truth is relative. It's not absolute. In our society, truth depends on the circumstances. But there is truth in our world. And because people do not believe in absolute truth, people today are hurting. And people today need answers. People today do not need our philosophies. They do not need our political stances. They do not need our opinions on what is right or wrong morally. They need truth. And truth is what? Jesus. Isn't that what Jesus said? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so when we think about guiding people into truth, what we need to do is be looking for opportunities to get people to Jesus. I mean, let's just get real practical here. When was the last time that you intentionally got someone to Jesus? I mean, really, just stop and think about it. Like if I said, all right, everybody tell the person next to you, tell them about the last time you took somebody to Jesus. Well, you're going, well, I don't even know where he lives. How am I supposed to get him there? I'm not talking about taking them to Jerusalem or something like that. I'm talking about just guiding them to truth. I mean, where you steered a conversation to your Savior. I can't help but think about the story about the lame man who wasn't able to walk, but there were four men that heard that Jesus was coming to town. And they said, we've got to get this man to Jesus because he needs help. And you remember what they did? They picked up his bed. They got him to the house that Jesus was in. They took him right in the door, right? No. It was packed out. People wasn't letting him in. And they said, well, we can't stop now. We got to find a way to get this guy to Jesus. So I don't know how they did it, but they got him up on the roof. And then they were like, this place doesn't have a sunroof. How are we going to get him in here? And they were like, break it up. And so they started breaking up somebody else's house. How many of you guys are ticked off if you find somebody on your roof, like tearing shingles off, like, I got to get these people to Jesus, you know? You'd think they're crazy. But listen, these people knew that people were going to think they were crazy, but they didn't care because they were going to do what had to be done to get that guy to Jesus. And the Bible says that God healed that man, not because of his faith, but the Bible says that he healed him because of their faith. Listen, some people will never be healed. They'll never know Jesus because we haven't had the faith to step out to guide them to him. Listen, I mean, let's get real, guys. We're not gathered here just to check off a box and say, I did my church duty. Me and God, we're like this. Listen, we are here to glorify the name of Jesus Christ, and nothing glorifies him more than bringing people to him so that he can rescue them like he desires. The Bible says that he is seeking to save those that are lost. It says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen, when was the last time that we guided someone to truth? When was the last time we said, check out my team. Check out my Jesus. Don't look to guide them to your moral stance. We're coming up close on election season. Did you guys know that? Like, how many guys are tired of the commercials? I'm tired of stinking Bruce Rauner and J.B. Pritzker because they're on my TV, they're on my radio. My wife is even talking about them. I'm like, I don't want to hear it anymore, you know? But we're getting close to the election. And by the way, we have some voter guides out there. If you'd like those, you pick them up at the Welcome Center. And there's a lot of political stances that you could even say are moral stances. And people will talk to you about those. They'll talk to you about where the candidates stand on abortion. They'll talk to you about where the candidates stand on all these other moral stances. And a lot of us are really quick to talk about those. But could I just encourage you to go a little deeper? Because life is not about where you stand on gay rights. And life is not where you stand on recreational marijuana or even abortion. Now listen, I believe those things are important and I have a preference on all of those and I'd be glad to share it with you if you want to talk about it afterwards. But our responsibility as a children of God is to get past the nonsense, the things that don't matter in light of eternity, and share the truth of the gospel with these people and point them to Jesus, not to a political or moral stance. Somebody needs to say amen right there because that is a good truth. It's important for us to get people to Jesus, to guide them to truth, which number two helps us with that. Number two is this. Don't speak of yourself. Don't speak of yourself. Life is not about us. Life is about Him. Remember, we exist to glorify God. Do all things to the glory of God. Whether therefore you eat or drink, do all to glorify God. The sooner we realize that life is about Him and not about us, the sooner God can begin to do the work that He desires to do in our lives and the lives of others. When we go back to John 16, when it's talking about what the Holy Spirit does, He says that He will guide you into all truth. And then it says, for He, the Holy Spirit, shall not speak of Himself. Because remember, the Holy Spirit wasn't about drawing attention to Himself. The Holy Spirit was about speaking about Jesus. Can I give you some practical advice based on what the Holy Spirit does? Stop talking about you. Stop talking about your likes, our dreams, our ambitions, our pains, our concerns, and talk about Jesus. Like, I think I'm that obnoxious Tennessee Volunteers fan. Like, a few weeks ago, I think it was 3 weeks ago, I took Andrew to the game, because my son Andrew, he's 11, he's a Florida Gators fan, and we're still praying for his salvation. And Tennessee played Florida in Tennessee, so we drove down there, got really good seats around the 50-yard line. And I'm here to tell you right now, for the last 3 weeks, I've looked for every opportunity I could to share somebody, or share with whoever was with me, the pictures. How many of you guys in this room have seen pictures from the Tennessee-Florida game? My brother's rolling his eyes down here like, yeah, I've seen them. Good, and I'm tired. I'll ask you, hey, did I show you these? 4 times you showed them to me, all right? You know why? Because I'm always looking for an opportunity. Now, God forbid if they would have actually won the game, then you'd really be hearing about it, all right? But here's the thing. There's some people, like, they're sports fans, and sometimes you're like, dude, knock it off. I'm tired of hearing about the stupid Bears, you know? I'm tired of hearing about the Volunteers or whatever their favorite team is. I bear witness to the Tennessee Vols. I look for ways to talk about them. But I'd have to admit that I'm guilty of talking more about the Volunteers than I am about Jesus oftentimes. We don't need to be obnoxious, but His name needs to be on our lips. And I'm not talking about using it in vain. By the way, when people get upset or get hurt, don't say Jesus Christ. That is using God's name in vain. Unless you're praying to Him, then go ahead and use it, all right? But as believers, we don't need to be doing that. But His name needs to be on our lips. We don't have to be that obnoxious, you know, like in everybody's face, but we need to be tender to the Holy Spirit's leading. as we're filled with the Spirit and the Spirit moves us, He gets our attention. When the Holy Spirit gets your attention, it's because He wants you to think about Jesus. He wants you to share Jesus, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He testifies of Jesus. He bears witness of Jesus. It would be helpful to us if we would begin to guide others to truth by stopping talking about ourselves and looking for opportunities to talk about Him. Which leads us to the last part of this, and that's number three. Tell others what you've seen and heard. You say, well, yeah, it's easy for you, Josh. You're a preacher. You've been to, you know, Bible college or that, you know, whatever that stuff is, and you read the Bible all the time and stuff. I don't understand it as much as you do. I don't know how to talk about Jesus. I don't know exactly what to say to someone, and it's really uncomfortable, and I don't know what to do. If you're saved, you are fully equipped to do what He's telling us to do here. Because in John 16, the last part of that verse tells us what the Holy Spirit does. He says He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever the Holy Spirit hears, that shall He speak. And the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Do you see what the Holy Spirit's doing here? The Holy Spirit is taking what He's heard and He's passing it on to others. And that's what God is calling us to do, to bear witness. It doesn't mean that we have to be out there with, you know, a fully polished speech and all of the answers to give to someone. You know what we need to do? Just tell them what we've heard. Just share with them what you've experienced. I love the phrase, and you guys have heard me say it often. God has not called us to be prosecuting attorneys. He's called us to be witnesses. You know, when a Bears fan stands up, he doesn't go around and say, the Bears, they're the best, they're the best, they're the best. You need to be a Bears fan. I know you like the Chiefs, but Chiefs are done, man. They're no good. That Mahomes, yeah, pfft, whatever. Here, put this on, put this on, put this on. Come on now. Is that what a Bears fan does? You need to go to Soldier Field with me. Come on, you're going to be a Bears fan. Go, 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 go. Is that what a Bears fan does? Some of them, maybe. Steer clear. Listen, that's not what the Holy Spirit does either. The Holy Spirit just testifies to what He's already heard. And that's what He's called us to do. It's Bears fans are, hey, did you see the game? Did you see? What's it? Trubisky? Is that his name? The quarterback? Did you see Trubisky? Second year in the league, and he was dropping dimes last week, brother. It was awesome. And you're going, I don't care. I don't know who. Mitch Trubisky. I don't care about that guy. But they're still going to talk about him. They're not trying to convince you. All they're doing is saying, did you see it? Did you hear about it? That's what we're supposed to do. Whatever God has been speaking to your heart about, tell others about it. If God has been answering your prayers, tell others about it. If God has burdened you about something, tell others about it. If God has saved you, tell others about it. And that's all that God is calling us to do, is to share what we've already heard. Maybe if God has spoken to your heart through last week talking about burdens, you can talk about how you've been bearing your burdens. We did parenting for a month. You could talk about parenting or whatever you're learning in your life group. If you've been having answers to prayer, you can share your testimony with people. Just share with them what you've learned. I believe with all of my heart that the people God allows you to cross paths with are the people that need to hear about what God is doing in your life. The people that you cross paths with are the people that need to hear your story. That's why God is always saying to testify, to bear witness, to get my word out there. These things don't happen on accident. It takes intentionality. So we want to help you. I'm going to help you with this. That's why we always have gospel literature. We call them tracts out there at the Welcome Center. They have the gospel written on them. I encourage you to share those with people. We're having a harvest party where we're renting the skating rink here and the Tuesday before Halloween, and welcome you to do that. That's one way you can get the word out there. On Halloween night, we actually have gospel resources. We'll tell you a little bit more about that later, but you can pick those up out at the Welcome Center. We're encouraging everybody to stay home and turn on your light and pass out candy and put gospel literature in these people's baskets as they come along. Make sure you give them candy too, not just the gospel literature. They'll be a little upset if you do that. But we want to equip you to do this. But listen, bearing witness is about far more than just inviting someone to church. Can I say that as clearly as possible? I'm not trying to get you to just invite people to church, because that's not at all what He was telling them to do. He was saying, as you're out and about doing your business, as you're living life, talk about Jesus. You know, becoming a Bears fan, in order to be a Bears fan, you don't have to drag someone to Soldier Field. in order to become a Bears fan. How many Bears fans have never been to Soldier Field? Anybody like that? I'm sure there's several. Yeah, obviously. You don't have to go to Soldier Field in order to become a Bears fan. But what we do need to do is not to try to convince them to come to Soldier Field or church, but rather just share our testimony, share our blessings, ask them how we can pray for them, ask God for opportunities to share, and then look for those opportunities. Because here's the good news. With the Bears, they have losing seasons, don't they? Do you guys know that? The Bears have losing seasons. The Bears may struggle to find good quarterbacks, right? The Bears may drop the ball, both figuratively and literally. And ultimately, the Bears can't do anything for you. They can't help you. They just want you to watch their games and buy their gear. That's what it all boils down to. God hasn't called us to bear witness to the Chicago Bears. He's called us to bear witness to Jesus, who doesn't want your money, and he doesn't want you to wear a Jesus, Jesus, Jesus shirt necessarily, although that'd be cool if he did. He just wants you to tell others about what he's doing in your life. Let's pray together.
Thank you again for joining us for today's podcast. If you have any questions about today's message or would just like more information about Grace, you can email us at info@experiencegrace.church. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and to subscribe to our channel for more messages just like this one.